Welcome.
Hi.
All right. This happens every time. How do we start?
We have a spreadsheet that you created
on
how to start. Hi, I'm Doug Kuchar, and this is Bits and Bytes. I am.
That's so wrong.
Oh, man.
Take two.
I have a podcast brainstorm ideas document. Here we go. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Bits and Bytes podcast. My name is Danielle Ross, and I'm the elementary tech coach for South Windsor Public Schools.
And I'm Doug Kuchar. I'm the director of technology for South Windsor Public Schools.
And we have a special guest here with us. We have Ed Duclos, the high school version of me, the high school tech coach. Welcome, Ed.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah. What are we talking about today, Doug?
I think we can talk about our recent conference that we went to that we presented at UConn, their teaching and learning conference. We can talk about kind of our presentation about AI and other things that we've gathered there at the conference.
Yeah.
Does that sound okay?
Sounds good to me.
And then we'll go off on tangents because that's what we always do. Because Ed has me thinking about bike riding now, and I haven't had to. Yeah. Can't bike ride right now, so I'm kind of like, because of my hamstring, so I'm really antsy.
You're gonna get like one of those hand pedal ones where you sit.
Yeah, they have that at the gym. I don't know what they're there for. I guess for shoulder injuries. I don't know.
Or people who hurt their hamstring and can't use their legs.
It's like a hamster wheel without using your legs.
Yeah, but you can take it outdoors.
You can take.
Don't they make seated bikes without your legs?
Yeah, recumbents, but those you're still pedaling.
I have seen them.
I've seen. Yeah, where you can
Right.
You sit with no leg movement, and it's just your arms.
Yeah, they're on like you put them on a railroad track. I've seen those before. Yeah, I'm not joking. I'm trying to back you up here. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I think it's more than just for the railroad track. I think I've seen them at races for people who can't run.
Oh, yeah.
They can use their arms.
Yeah, we were talking about Stand By Me earlier, Stephen King novel that became a movie. What was the novel? Was the novel Stand By Me?
No, it was Four Seasons, so they had four different novellas in the book, and one of them was turned into, I think it was Body on the Track, was turned into Stand By Me. And then the three others, I believe, were turned into movies as well.
Yeah, the Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon was that was a separate novel, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, Tom Gordon, for those of you that know, was Flash Gordon. He was a pitcher for the Red Sox.
I think maybe it was Rita Hayworth Comes to Shawshank was in there as well. No, because it had the four seasons. So I'll have to go back and take a look. That was back in my earlier English teaching days that I knew that stuff.
So you can't, out there, you're not being able to look at our facial expressions here, and Danielle has this blank stare because this is all before Harry Potter.
This whole conversation is beyond me. I don't know who that baseball player is. I know, obviously, that Stephen King is a famous author out of Maine, correct?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I know that. Yes. Everything else, I'm over here blinking.
Well, that's, you know, just experience, I guess, you know. Stephen King, though, he is a true New Englander.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he probably had an influence over Harry Potter.
Harry Potter is not quite as violent as I gather Stephen King is.
Depends what you read by Stephen King.
Well, I've only ever been exposed, I feel like, to the violent ones. I'm like, I can only tolerate so much thriller before I can't.
It definitely is his claim to fame.
Yeah.
So I like Stephen King. He had a book called On Writing that I read once.
Yeah. South Windsor High School English Department used to use that back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He basically said about like his schedule, how he'd write in the morning for like four or five hours off the bat, always write. I was always impressed by that because, you know, you stare at a blank page, he's just like, no, you just do it.
I just was listening to a podcast with John Green, and he totally disagrees with that whole thing of being disciplined.
I don't know. I haven't done either one, so I don't have an opinion on that.
Same.
Well, this is why we've got AI. We don't have to start anything from scratch anymore.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Ed? You're a former English teacher.
Well, I think that AI is going to be able to be used in the writing process. And then the teachers is going to have to make a decision as to where she or he would like to use it. For example, if I have brainstorming, initial draft, I have revision, and then final editing and things along those lines, I could go ahead and put a couple of those tasks out to AI and then hold those other tasks that it's just me. Like, for example, as a former English teacher, I don't see myself allowing my students to use it to write the initial draft. But on occasion, could I have it them using it for brainstorming? Absolutely. The other thing that I could see is using it more consistently is with feedback. I would love to give my 25 students in my classroom feedback when they are ready for it, but it's impossible. I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. So to start teaching how to use the bot to get feedback, but also what feedback to take, what feedback not to take, I think is a wonderful skill for the English classroom.
Yeah, I think the other week I was with Danielle, and we were with about four teachers in your elementary tech crew.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the teachers was going over how she uses it for feedback in her class. She was using Magic School AI, and the students were using Magic School AI for students, and they were giving feedback on their written work. And I was really excited because she was showing some of the stuff that they were doing. And some of the feedback was, hey, you have three run-on sentences. Well, what's run-on sentence? Explains run-on sentence. Well, what are the sentences? And then it gives, well, here are your three run-on sentences. Can you think of a different way to write the sentence? So it's like kind of leading with questions rather than just giving answers.
So I feel like what we're saying here, though, is that, you know, even though we're all tech people, we're not advocating to use tech for every single thing. We're saying, you know, AI use is on a spectrum or a continuum, right? There's an appropriate time and a place and the, you know, amount of support AI can give you. So we're not totally losing the creative process, which I know is a concern for some people. We're just using it to complement the great work we're already doing.
I agree. I look at it as you breaking down whatever it is for you, that the tasks that go into whatever you're creating, right? And then you start, again, back to that, what am I willing to just give to the bot, to AI? What do I say? No, it's just me. And then what are the other ones where I can use it as an assistant? And I think that then, rather than going to the bot and just being transactional, here's a prompt, give me something, I'm copying, I'm pasting, we want the human in the loop and therefore being able to interact with a conversation as versus to a transaction. And I think that's a huge skill that we need to make sure our students are getting.
Yeah, and we were seeing that the fifth graders who are using it, they are understanding that it is an iterative process, and we could see them going back and forth. And so I think sometimes we underestimate what these littles can do, but I mean, in fifth grade, they're already understanding that your conversation with AI isn't one-sided, it isn't one and done. You can continue through the process and get exactly what, you know, the support you're looking for.
Yeah, and I'd also like to throw in, just as you were talking, the thought came up, is we characterize English teachers, oh, the English department's against AI at the high school. And it's just such a gross exaggeration. It's incorrect, frankly. We have in the two different AI pilots that we've run to choose the AI tool, we have six English teachers there. And they are all just doing amazing things. So, yeah, to characterize that, you know, a department's against it, it's like totally incorrect.
So I think one of the things that I picked up at UConn at the conference, when we kind of polled other teachers and admin from other districts, a lot of people aren't using AI in their districts right now because they really are, either they have people against it or they just don't know enough about it and are kind of waiting on things. And so, you know, something like discussions like this can kind of help spur them on about using it, because, I mean, I believe that it's going to be used. It's going to be used in an industry, and it's going to be used very quickly. And we have to like kind of prep our students on how to do it. And we've all used AI for a while now. It's been over a year using it. It's not perfect. It doesn't really come up with a draft, even if I want to draft an email. It doesn't come up with it right away. But for me, it's just the process of going through it. And I think it may save me some time, but it makes the quality of what I do better, I think.
So do we want to recap what we have learned from the UConn conference, or do we want to go straight into what we presented?
I think we can go right into what we presented. How's that?
Sounds good, because I feel like we're kind of talking about the current, and people just need to know, how did we get here? That was kind of the question we kept getting asked at UConn, is how did you get to this point? And I'm going to hand this over to Ed and Doug, because you guys started this ball rolling for South Windsor. So,
well, I think in the beginning, when it first came out, my mind was blown, and I was just like, wow, this is the next best thing, and kind of experimented with it. And then I did a presentation on it for over the summer for one of my organizations, at the national organization that I belong to. And then I brought that presentation to the administrators, and then we talked about it. And then Ed's done a remarkable job at the high school getting teachers on board, because we really focused on teachers and staff using AI first. So that was our thing that we sort of all believed in, that you have to really get your hands dirty with AI to really truly understand its potential, and also some of the things that it can and can't do.
Yeah, I have a similar story. You actually had sent out an email to all the tech coaches, and I opened it up, and I was amazed right off the bat and intrigued. And to your credit, you not only got to the point where it was not going to get shut down. Obviously, it was shut down for students because, you know, it was over 18. But for the teachers, you kept it open from the very beginning. I give you credit and upper administration here in the school district for not shutting it down. And then you went one step farther than that, and you said, use it. And I still have admin and teachers come to me and said, well, Doug said to use it, so off we went. So it was great. And then just the credit to the educators. I mean, the teachers, it was, you know, it's how can you answer this question right now? How are you going to use AI in your classroom if you've never used AI? You just can't answer that question. You have to have tried it. You've had to have played with it. And hopefully, even if you're critical of AI, you've tried it enough that you're not just reacting to headlines. And I think for the most part, our staff has really given it a try. That's been huge.
Yeah, credit to the staff, really, to use it. And, you know, some people have come to me and said, well, I don't really know. You know, this is probably about halfway through, like 6 months ago, they would come and say, well, it really doesn't do what I want it to do, because they were kind of expecting magic to happen, right? They were expecting... You hit the, remember that Staples button, the red button?
Oh, the easy button.
The easy button, right? You know, that was easy.
Yeah.
And they were expecting that was easy button. Like, you would draft the email and read your thoughts, and you wouldn't have to do any work. And I think that's what people's expectations were. And to be, you know, to be honest, the media, that was like what the media was presenting it as. So I don't blame them. But the iterative process, Danielle, mm-hmm. I think that's what it's all about. And for me personally, it came about the time, like, I was halfway through my MBA program. So I don't know. I've mentioned this before. You know, my son was getting his MBA, and, you know, they had this deal, if, you know, for family members. And I was like, what the heck?
I've never heard this part of the story.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it's just like,
get one at a discount.
Buy one, get one free, right? Because I already have my master's. And I was like, you know what? Why not? You know, I keep my mind, you know, going. And I'm glad I did. And here's why. It's because AI came around about halfway through, and it just, I was using it as a student. And so that's why I just encourage people to use it, because once you use it for your own purposes, you can see the possibilities there. And I wasn't like, it wasn't about plagiarism or anything like that. I was using it for presentations to make images for my presentations. I was using it, hey, you know, this is my outline. How can I get this? This assignment is 2 pages. You know, I'm going on for 4 pages. What can I get rid of? Really asking it questions, because it would never give me good enough stuff in the beginning anyways. So, and that's why I think what the English teachers are learning too. It's because it's pretty obvious when we talk about these. People have concerns about there and at UConn too about plagiarism, and is AI just, you know, how can they, you know, we have these AI detectors, and of course a lot of people, even OpenAI, have come out and said, you know, these detectors don't work, and teachers want really control. But what are your teachers at the high school, what are they saying about the whole plagiarism aspect of just turning in AI generated work?
Well, we went through that a year ago, last spring, right? And it was just like, yeah, there were AI detectors out there, and there was the assumption that they were accurate. And then when that got debunked this school year, even though there have been incidents, no question about it, it's less about plagiarism right at this point. I think in many ways, I've heard from a number of teachers, not just English teachers, English or language arts, et cetera, the fact is that teachers are talking about academic integrity more than they've ever done in the past. So that's a positive. I think that teachers, when you talk about using AI, when you started to say, there's a lot on our plate. We always say that, right? And it's the fact. There is a lot on a teacher's plate. And if you start saying, how can I save some time? Well, AI is the place mm-hmm. that you're going to do that. And when some of these tools came out that were taking the frontier large language models, which were overwhelming to people because they were so simplistic, there's a prompt box, what do I do? And then you had the Magic School come out, and then you had Diffit come out and others that teachers and broke the prompts down into steps.
That's fan of scaffolding.
That's when, because basically what is Magic School, Diffit, et cetera, it teaches you how to write a prompt.
Yeah.
We're still somewhat transactional, and we get that result. We've been Googleized, right? It's like Google search. I go and put in a prompt, a question or whatever. I get the results. I leave. Well, that's not this. Generative AI is a conversation. So as teachers are learning that, they can see they can do more with it. And then I see them being able to go back to Gemini, or, you know, which is in Google Workspace, and they're starting to get more comfortable with that as a result.
Yeah, I think it, you know, the plan kind of worked out nicely to let, you know, adults play with AI first. And while we were exploring AI, the companies were exploring ways to get students on AI. And that kind of is a perfect timing to where we are now, where we've been piloting. Again, Ed has been leading the charge here at the high school. I kind of do like the trickle down effect of how did it go? Let me take the best parts and try it with my elementary people. And they've tried a ton of different platforms for the students that do have guardrails. And, you know, thankfully Doug is on board with all of this, and he's promoting it within district for us. But it's given us enough time. Tried out as adults, and now we're starting to onboard students with it too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next step, right? Get the adults comfortable with it so they know how to use it, and then transfer that learning onto the students. So I'm excited because I love hearing how people are using it in different ways in district, because sometimes I think, you know, I know everything. So sometimes I act like that. I understand that. But it's awesome to see people excited. And to be honest, it's got me excited again about just education, because we've been really thinking about this stuff for a while. I mean, the education space have been thinking about educational technology really making a difference in students' lives. And we've seen that to some extent. We've seen apps come out like Dreambox and Lexia, that, you know,
they have AI built in there, right? I don't know if people understand that when students are answering questions and then your next question is based off your first answer, that is using AI to give you your path, correct?
Yeah, there's machine learning, and then there's generative AI, So machine learning and AI is kind of like intertwined a little bit. Machine learning, very predictive technology. And so it's basically predicting where the next question for the student should be. Generative AI is, it's generating a conversation, you know, it's generating text. It is coming up with, it's basically a prediction machine. It's predicting the next word or the next syllable that should be out there based on the vast amount of data that it's collected. But it's really a really conversational that's been blowing people away. So it's a lot different than what we've seen with AI before, whereas this is generative AI. It's generating things. It's generating images. It's basically, you can have a two-way input conversation with it, and that it'll come up with a unique output, whereas, you know, it was just basically saying before, like in those educational apps, it was saying, well, what's the next question? Out of, all right, this kid is at 4 and he scored correctly on this, so out of this a la carte menu, the best question next should be this number 8. So it's a lot different. Generative AI is more of not a person, but a tool that sounds like a person that can kind of encourage you, and you can put guardrails on it, and it's more of, like I said before, I keep coming back to it, conversation, but that's what basically it's all about, conversational AI.
To take this in a slightly different direction, the two things that I'm most confident about and have really enjoyed throughout this entire process, first, the teacher groups. We have an in-crew at the high school. We also have added an AI squad that came out of, obviously, this whole, since November 30th, 2022, when ChatGPT got unleashed on the world. But what we have now is the continuation of collaboration. So teachers now sharing, hey, here's what I'm doing in my classroom, here's what I'm finding, and someone else then chiming in. Those conversations are absolutely huge. Yes. Right now. Because right now, for me, if I'm new to it, where do I start? It's like, well, I've got to see what others have done.
Yeah,
and that's what
huge.
We're trying to put together. And the other thing that I'm incredibly excited about, actually, I left one a session to get here, is a student AI squad at the high school. We're going to learn from our students, plain and simple. I had a group of ninth graders and opened up every tool that Magic School has on every tool that Magic School has available to students. And I said, okay, go ahead, play around. What do you want to go ahead and what are you working with? And I took them through the entire process, and their input was amazing. It was absolutely wonderful. They were talking with, you know, Martin Luther King, and they were Frederick Douglass.
I love that feature.
And they were just all poking around. And then I said, okay, so how could this be used in the classroom? And the very first thing, hey, could a teacher open this up for homework so then I could actually study for a test with a bot back and forth and everything along those? They started listing off, you know, half a dozen things right off the top of their head. So I'm really excited about collaboration as we move forward, because quite bluntly, this is a moving target. It's going to continue to change. And therefore, the more we collaborate and say what's working, what's not working, we're going to figure this whole thing out.
Yeah, when we had our, you know, full district tech meeting recently, somebody gave an example of a great use case of now you can upload photos and videos up to Gemini and ChatGPT and stuff like that. And as a parent, they are able to upload a photo of the homework and have instructions to help their kid using AI. And so this, I feel like, just goes full circle. Like, staff is able to use it, students, parents can use it to assist. We're all working together as one collaborative team to just really like further our learning.
Yeah, and why I'm so excited about this is because I used to teach, and I taught tech ed for
back
a number of
day.
Years. Back in the day, I used to teach. That's right.
That was computer age?
That was it. Well, yes.
They were using like a stone and a chisel to do their tech ed back then.
It was great because I know. What are you talking about, Ed? I grew up in the computer age, which is great because you get to grow up as a computer.
Were the computers the size of the room back then?
No, it was not ENIAC or anything like that. No,
That's what I heard back in the day. They were like room sized.
They were room sized, and they used to do it by tape. So it would punch holes to programs.
I don't understand any of that.
Hidden Figures. There's another movie. Have you seen Hidden Figures?
I don't know any of these things.
Oh, boy. We got to work on this movie education.
I know. Sorry, Danielle. It's like
I'm just over here on my own planet. Yeah, yeah, we're at Hogwarts.
I know.
I'll be at Hogwarts. It's fine. I like
when
it.
When I said experience, I meant life experience earlier. And just, that's the thing. It's like that's another word for old, right, Ed? Just, yeah. So, yeah. So tech ed. So in technology education, at least the way I taught it, there was always open-ended questions, right? Open-ended projects. Because you never had... A project wasn't a set thing where that's an A project or anything like that. You had a goal you had to accomplish, and you could basically use tools on the way to get there. And it's really about the process getting there. And it's, as a teacher, you didn't prescribe things to the students. You basically taught them how to use the tools and then see what happened. And sometimes it was spectacular failure, which you still learn from. And sometimes it was spectacular success, which you still learn from. Sometimes you learn more from the failure. And I think why I'm so excited about this and why it's a moving target, and, you know, you can't really plan for it. You're a couple steps behind the whole time. And so it's like you have to focus in on the process, focus in on just, all right, how do I use these tools? And so that's why I'm excited, because it's nothing that we can set in stone and say, you must do this. It's like it's your student AI squad is just great. It's a great idea. Talking to the kids, like what do they feel like it's going to feature? Because we're all on the same plane right now. So the teachers are not really necessarily two steps ahead of the students. So we're all it's really a great learning process. But, you know, the teachers and we are more mature, and we can see, you know, we can kind of guide them through the process too. And that's basically what I loved about teaching. And it's basically what guided my teaching was about student feedback and like asking students that graduated, you know, did my teaching, you know, have any effect on you in college? And so I would hear back from students, and, you know, that would further sharpen my iron about my teaching process too. So that's why I'm excited about AI and the fact that people are latching on, and that's how it's changing things. It's more of a focusing on the process rather than the end goal. We have to meet these standards. You're going to meet these standards, but you're not focusing on that. You're focusing on the project ahead using AI alongside you.
Isn't this kind of like how we would be focusing on the soft skills, things that you can't necessarily see or maybe assess, but that are essential for the future? You know, we're training kids for jobs that aren't invented yet. And so how do we do that? We need to teach them things like persevering. You know, this is a brand new technology. It's not always going to work right. We're not going to understand it, but we're going to push through, you know, being resilient, things like that. And I feel like AI is a great way to tie into that, to learn a lot of skills that are applicable in a whole lot of places for whatever career may be invented by the time they're ready for it.
In your AI squad, Ed, do the students talk about using AI as a tutor, or how do they describe using it?
So that's one way that they use it. This is like before even looking at Magic School. So they were going home, personal accounts, and then using it as the chatbot as a tutor, as a study helper, that kind of thing, or teach me that topic that I really didn't understand in class, in a back and forth. So they're using it. Well, some of them are using it. Others are terrified by it. Others don't have the access, which is one of the huge reasons for us moving towards an AI tool that we can use with all students and all staff. And then, you know, back to that, it has the data privacy component to it, meets all those standards. It has the guardrails on it. It's not like just going to ChatGPT 4.0. It's got, you know, hey, write my essay. It's not going to write the essay for it. So it has some of the guardrails, has some of the safety guardrails in there. And then the bottom line for us is the teacher can control what tools are being used, when they're being used, and has access to everything that Eddie did while he was on working with the chatbot. So these are things that are, again, a way for us to teach the skills, back to Danielle's point, that they're going to need in a huge way, and not for the workforce. They're going to need it for college. I mean, colleges are moving, obviously, to this in a huge way. So the stepping stone aspect has to be there.
Yeah, stepping stone, too, because they're going to be using it in school. And then outside of school, there are other AI applications that are already are at their disposal. And I was talking to some young people. Like, I know a lot of young people. Of course, I have a large family. So we all, you know, so I'm the AI guy for some reason. So every time that we get together, there's always talk about it. So much so I'm like, I'm over this. Let's talk about some other thing like robots taking over the world or something like that. But you know, they were talking about Snapface.
Yeah.
Snapchat, Snapface.
Doug talks face, like he doesn't have face Snapchat.
Yes, but yeah, yeah. So Bill Belichick said that one, and that I've clinged. Like, I'm clinging to that snap face kind of mentality. But anyways, they have their AI built in. And I was talking to one of my young relatives, and she was saying how she has conversations all the time with this snap face, Snapchat, AI, my AI, whatever it is. And the reason why is because it listens to them and has a conversation with them. And I'm thinking there is no data protections on that whatsoever. So it's just one of the things that we need to be teaching our students about. It's like, hey, when you do talk to something like, you know, a Snapchat AI or some other AI out there, it is taking in information. So it's like, you know, I kind of described it at the UConn conference. And believe me, you know, you know that I'm just very pro AI. But, you know, what if, you know, in 20 years, you're applying for a job, it's a small company and, you know, a small business with 100 employees or less, and, you know, they're paying into health insurance, and they have an HR office that uses AI, and they do a scan. And
they find all your old podcast episodes.
They find all your old podcast episodes, but no, don't even go there. Anyways. But they find health records that you know, something about your health or something about you said something to somebody at when you were 14 that's going to always carry with you. And, you know, they don't really have to tell you that they looked at that information. They're just going to pass on you and never even give you an interview. So these are things that we need to have conversations with students about. And that's why when we were careful about introducing these programs to our students, we need to have those guardrails on, and we need to have the data privacy, the student data privacy addendum. Usually we go to these companies and we say, you have to abide by these rules, and we have control, or your student or your child has control of the data and can at any time say, hey, we want all our data back. So we really look for like companies basically that do not train on student data, that meet the Connecticut student data privacy laws, but really they don't train on it, and they don't really store that data, or it can't link back to the student as well. So it is important for us. It's important for me, just for the fact that, you know, in 20 or 30 years time, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, who knows what's going to happen with this stuff in 5 years?
Well, you know, to that point, the closed system that we're going to, that closed environment allows all of us to teach the skills necessary to control the AI tool in a closed system. Then we can start to, you know, really address responsible and ethical use. Fantastic. But to your point, now they go outside. And everybody looks at me and they say, so a little side note, everybody's like, well, you're a huge proponent of AI. And professionally, yeah, that's the reason why I am, is because we need to teach our kids how to do it. We didn't do that with social media. We didn't do that with phones. How'd that work out? You know, we got a huge problem right now. So let's not mess up again. Let's go ahead and teach the skills that they need. That's one, so that they can use it ethically and responsibly outside of that controlled system. Which is huge, because everybody says, well, when bad actors get their hands on this stuff, bad actors already have their hands on this stuff. The deep fakes, we are just starting to see, you know, scratch the surface of that. It's just, if our kids are defenseless against all that, and to your point, ignorant of all that, then we're doing them a disservice, and we don't want to do that to our kids.
And I do think we do a good job, because I see it, because when I'm working in the elementary schools, a lot of times I'm in the library media center, where we are doing explicit digital citizenship lessons, where we're talking about things like what you put out on the internet is likely there forever. So be mindful of that. And how to recognize things that are fake, and looking for, you know, little clues in an image that, like, the words are all scrambled in the background to know that that's, like, AI generated. I feel like it's complementary. Like, it goes hand in hand. We're teaching them how to use it ethically, responsibly, you know, all these good digital citizenship skills, how to explore with guardrails, because we're all still learning, and that hopefully when they are given their freedom, they have all the tools they need to do it well.
Yeah, and that's what we do. We teach them to make intelligent choices. What choices they make, you know, we can't control, but at least they know. So, that, I mean, so they can go through the cost-benefit analysis of each. Not that they're actually listing that off every time they sign up for some social media AI, but, you know, at least they have some basic understanding of the data and what happens to the data and the bad actors out there, so they have that understanding. Because, like, you know, you take it for granted. We were talking about phishing, like email phishing, and most of us look at phishing and say, how can anybody fall for that? Yeah. But, you know, not everybody is in tune with that, and people are trusting out there.
I will give a little anecdotal story. My grandmother is almost 84, and she's got an iPhone and an iPad, and I wish I could put more guardrails on there for her, but we just let her go. And one of her free games keeps telling her, A, that she's out of storage. So she is down to the point where she's deleted pretty much everything. Even though I've already put things into the cloud for her, she even bought a flash drive. I was like, sure, I'll put it on there for you. She's nowhere near out of storage. But then it keeps telling her that it's overheating. It's not the message that, you know, Apple will send you if your phone's overheating. She's to the point where now she's putting her iPhone into a frying pan in case it catches on fire. Because this free game keeps telling her all these things.
An actual frying pan?
Yeah, an actual frying pan.
A real one.
A real one.
Like an, you know, one of those iron.
Yeah, she buys the best of the best from QVC, so it's from there. Yeah. But I was like, Graham, an iPhone will tell you. Mine will say. Usually I have to use mine for GPS because my old GPS in my car won't update. So I put my phone on top of my navigation. You got tech on tech. It's getting hot. It's plugged in. It will just say, we're not charging until it cools down. Fine. It's not going to explode. But Graham gets out a frying pan because this is free. So, this is the thing. Like, we're going to teach our kids so that they don't grow up to put their tools in a frying pan, hopefully. No oil, just in case it catches on fire.
She probably saw an ad that said, watch out, don't sleep with your phone.
The amount of things, you know, she's brought it to a bunch of different places. It's telling her all these things. She's very gullible. Oh, but you know what? This is not the time she grew up in. And there's no way she could have ever learned this. But we're making sure that our students and staff here,
yeah, at least they have the tools, and they can be at least aware of things, because it's like, you know, humans are always going to figure out a way to trick other humans. They're going to rely on people's goodwill, and, you know, we're not going to be able to prevent all the scams out there using technology.
No, my grandma's going to make sure that it keeps going through. Yeah. She's going to be the lucky caller every time they do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, back to the frying pan.
Yeah. My phone,
I don't know where to go.
Does get very hot. Where are we going here? But it does tell you. But that's the thing, is to be able to understand the difference between what is an authentic notification and what is trying to trick you. And that's kind of what we're teaching the kids. What do you look for?
Yeah, what do you look for?
And yeah, the one that's trying to trick her, it's kind of blurry. And I'm like, well, maybe she doesn't notice it's blurry. But to me, I'm like, that looks shady. Like, don't listen to that. Shady.
Well, and that's the thing. It's going to get tougher and tougher to do. You know, mm-hmm. Back in the day when I was teaching way back, English teacher, we taught media literacy. So how do you read an ad? How are they manipulating you? You know, those kind of things. Deep fakes. Just look at OpenAI's Sora and what they do from a text prompt in the 1 minute video that is created. Can you tell that apart from a Hollywood director doing the,
Can't. I think I have this mental motto at this point that it is fake until it's proven true. I'm not going to fall for the clickbait videos and the articles that seem very, what's the word? Convincing. From now on, I just think everything is fake until I can prove it otherwise.
I don't want to say that's what everyone should do, because that's just for technology, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for all these videos, that's where it's I feel like
when I call you up, you're saying this is the fake Doug.
Well, actually, in my book, they just did that scam where the book I just finished, where the phone call came from the daughter and the daughter was, quote unquote, being abducted, but it was all fake.
Yeah. Well, that happened to a doctor. There's a lot of stories out there.
My grandma would get had with that.
Yeah. Well, she would absolutely get had. Well, I mean, who wouldn't if it's your, like, if your kid, it's your kid calling you with his voice.
Yeah.
And saying they're in jail. My son's going to Europe, and what if I get a phone call from, you know, some jail in Sweden?
I mean, it's probably really got really gourmet meals 3 times a day. They probably garden, have yoga.
Yeah. So if he does go into jail in Sweden, he's probably better off. So yeah, you're right, Danielle. I'll just like say, yeah, yeah.
It's
but
nice
you wouldn't think of
hanging up and calling back.
Hanging up the phone and then calling him back, which is how this doctor ended up. He was hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
Into it, and then he was like scrambling, and then he hung up, and then he called his son back, and his son is like, "What do you mean? I'm in Pennsylvania, not Alabama."
Yeah.
So those things are happening. I don't want to get too, but yeah,
but they're
yeah,
out
it's,
there.
It's
but
good and the bad. Right?
We all need the skills to be able to discern as best as we can from the bad apples.
And I think out there those are the conversations that are happening, like in district with our teachers and, you know, just using this AI with our students. So I think that's the exciting thing, that we're really not shying away from those conversations to really prepare our kids.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are at about 43 minutes, Danielle.
Wow.
So
it sounds like a long conversation for me to edit later.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't really get into all the Stephen King novels, but we might next time do that.
I was looking them up on Goodreads as you guys were talking.
Yeah, yeah. No, some of them are good. Some of them are kind of...
Do you use Goodreads?
Yeah, I use Goodreads sometimes.
Do you use Goodreads?
I don't.
It's basically social media for books.
I know it. I just have a long list that I
want to... Well, it keeps track for you of what you've read, what you want to read, and you get reviews. You can follow your friends. I see what they've read. I'm like, okay, add that to my want-to-read list.
I have a Google Doc of all the books that I've read by my favorite authors, and I know which one I want to read next.
Oh, no. Nope.
Oh, boy, that is old school. Right? Old school.
Open it up when I go to the public library, and I'm like, what's available today?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Goodreads is good.
Yeah, it's a cool app.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good read.
No, just got into Spotify. I like Spotify.
Yeah. Big fan of streaming.
Google Podcasts closed down, so they were going to shift me over to YouTube, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going this way. So.
Yeah. Yeah. For all the listeners, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find us, except
you can
for YouTube.
Find our podcast. Yeah, not on YouTube?
No, I'm not putting us on YouTube.
No.
No, that's one more thing for me to do.
All right.
That's a no.
Not doing that.
No to YouTube. Sorry, YouTube listeners out there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'd have to film ourselves. That sounds terrible.
Oh, we'd have to film ourselves?
Yeah.
You can't just like have like pictures in the background and just audio going?
And just have AI make us a video.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the worst thing, talking and listening to these podcasts that are now switching over to the video as well because of YouTube, right? So now you're listening to a podcast, but they have a visual aspect to it because they're on YouTube.
Yeah, they have to get really good at describing it.
So you have to bring stuff in, right? And it's just like one was doing a whole thing on Sora, and I stopped about 5 minutes in because he's describing what he's showing on YouTube. I'm sorry. Either do a podcast like this or do a video channel.
Yeah, for those of you listening out there, we have a chart over there that you can't see that I'll describe.
Exactly. Ed and I just looked. I'm like, there's nothing in this room. It's not. But I mean,
yeah,
it's not visually appealing to film it. It's white walls, beige or beige.
I totally agree with you, Ed. I'm listening to a podcast this weekend, and I'm out doing yard work, and you know, and they start talking about some kind of like, you know, well, you know, for those of you listening out there, you can go to our website and download this chart that we're talking about.
I will not do such a thing.
Yeah, I won't. I want to be entertained. One more step. I want to be entertained. Well, hopefully everyone out there was a little bit entertained and educated today.
Yeah. I mean, take this back to your districts. That's something that we did learn, is that not everybody's on the same AI path as we are. But we're here to pave the way for you, and feel free to reach out to us. We can coordinate. We'll have Doug talk to your people, have your people talk to our people. Doug will do it.
Well, you can also go to the website, southwinderschools.org. And if you go to the staff link, you can either find EdTech Resources, which is a great website that our EdTech teachers have done that has a plethora. I can't talk today.
Yeah,
plethora of resources.
AI tab in there.
Yeah, and basically almost everything we talked about is in there.
Yeah, you would know that if we had a video version.
As I'm going to the website right now.
Yeah.
In the awesome. Left-hand corner. All well, right, well, I'm going to thank Ed.
Yeah, thank you, Ed, for joining us.
you thank him.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the invite. Always fun to talk about this as what our team is doing. Debbie Matchett, also part of our team. The four of us have accomplished a lot together, and I look forward to continuing.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, we got a lot coming up. These updates are happening very quickly. So.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks. Well, we'll catch you next time.